This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com. It's
a beautiful morning. We got a new act. It's phenomenal. It's sensational. It's terrific. It's even mediocre.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
Oh, a microphony.
And a phony at the mic.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
God, I love you. Get the hell off the stage.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning.
And a good morning, everyone else.
Yeah. We're apparently having some internet issues, so if you're trying to call us,
yeah,
you can keep trying, right, Sam? Or not?
Calls should still be working.
Okay.
I believe just our stream is down. It looks like StreamYard, the program that we use to go everywhere on social media, has just died.
It's not, oh, no. It's not. Oh, no. No one
so
can
we're not
hear
on,
us.
Live on Facebook or X or Instagram
right.
or anywhere
That's
else.
Right.
They can't
none
watch
the
us while they're
are.
Driving into work this morning.
Unfortunately.
What was that, Sam?
None of our Civic Media morning shows that stream on social media are going out to social media right now. But
okay.
I don't believe that's on our end. I think that's a StreamYard
All
issue.
Right. Looks like we've got a caller here, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Catherine.
Ah,
I believe this
okay.
Is
okay, so we were talking about TikTok earlier,
yes,
a little bit, and what's got a new trend apparently. Good morning, is this Catherine? Good morning, Catherine.
Yes.
Hey.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Your phones are messed up, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not
yes.
hearing anything on hold. It's a whole thing.
I know, it's kind of scary, isn't it?
It's a little eerie. It's
yeah,
a little eerie.
It is.
It rings, goes to silence now, and oh my goodness, poor Sam.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I wanted to tell you something that occurred yesterday afternoon. My daughter, out of nowhere, and I have no idea what prompted it, she said, oh, I don't do TikTok anymore. She took it off her phone.
What?
TikTok.
TikTok off her phone.
Wow. What prompted this?
Now, this was a prolific TikToker, watcher, and creator. She has 5,000 plus followers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
something
wow.
happened, and I don't know what it is.
And she
would
was,
like to
and,
hear about it from her?
And she's really
well,
good.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
We
yeah.
watched some of her
yes.
Her videos. So, yeah, we
yes.
would love to talk to her about that. And see what prompted right. this.
Yeah, can you put her on the phone?
Here's Bailey.
All right. Good morning, Bailey.
Hi.
So wait a second. You
yeah.
you create videos on TikTok, and you've been doing that for a while, and you have more than 5,000 followers, and you just decided a couple of days ago to just not be on TikTok anymore. Is that right? Well, tell us why you did that.
Well, for a while, I didn't want to be on TikTok anymore because I don't enjoy it anymore. It's just scrolling, which is boring and isn't fun or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I liked creating videos, so that's why I kept it around. But then I realized that it's just having the app on my phone is making me want to scroll. And I've tried to cut down on time on TikTok, and that wasn't really changing anything. And so I decided to just finally get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. You must have talked to your friends about this, obviously, you know, the people that really love watching your channel. So what happened? What did they say? Are they doing the same thing?
I posted a video.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily. I mean, some people are. But I just posted a video being like, hey, I'm deleting TikTok, and then kind of just did it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you putting your videos, are you still creating videos and putting them somewhere else?
I'm going to start posting more on Instagram.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. What about YouTube? No?
I want to in the future, but...
Is it the learning curve? I don't even know what they call it. What do they call it over at YouTube?
It's just YouTube.
Well, it's more long-term content.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have long form. So I'd have to figure out
how I want to make that interesting.
That's right, yeah. So you're going to just do it on a Facebook at this point. No, Instagram, rather. Instagram, and they may, it's similar, right? It's pretty similar.
Yeah, it's more like photos, but it is similar.
Mm-hmm. It's just photos, or are you going to use videos on Instagram?
You can do videos.
Mm-hmm.
So
can post videos.
What kind of videos are you posting on there? Is it, you know, what do you find is most popular of your videos? What kind of stuff do you put on
well,
there?
I haven't posted anything on Instagram yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've seen a couple of your videos, and it was kind of like you're into doing hair and makeup and that kind of thing, and fashion stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you think this would be a trending thing, that more people would be doing this? Because the scrolling is a huge problem. I admit scrolling is awful. You know, after doing a lot of scrolling myself, I just feel like, what the hell did I just do?
It seems like a waste of time sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. You keep looking for something better and then better and better, and maybe even a follow-up to a comment you saw previous, right? So you've had it with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are some of your other TikTok friends also moving away from TikTok and going to Instagram?
Are you still in contact with them?
If they have me on Instagram, then yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I want to say congratulations to taking the IV out.
Well, no, I just wonder why you're doing. Is it because TikTok is coming from China or owned by the Chinese government? Does that have anything to do with this?
Or it's going away?
No, it was like affecting my mental health, and I found myself spending too much time just sitting and scrolling, and then it would affect my attention span, and I wouldn't be able to focus on like movies or TV shows. And after deleting it, like, I've been able to spend more time like watching stuff that is longer and isn't just like short, stupid videos.
Right. Something more meaningful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's really great that you were able to recognize that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. More power to you.
Well, Bailey, thanks for sharing that with us, and it's interesting. And mm-hmm. if this becomes more of a trend, we'd like to maybe follow up once in a while and see and check out more of your videos on Instagram.
So, if you see what your friends are doing, let us know and see if this isn't happening all across the United States at this point. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Bailey. Appreciate it. Okay. That's
great
stuff. It's kind of an insight to what's going on in the younger.
Well, I think it's wonderful that she noticed it, she felt it, and then she took action.
Yeah.
Actually getting rid of, 5,000 followers.
Yeah. Yeah.
In an instant by, taking the app off her phone.
Well, and she'll likely be able to keep those followers with her
wherever
she goes.
Well, it'll probably still there. They're still there. She just doesn't have the app connected to it.
Yeah. So.
Currently.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean,
that's great stuff.
She did it because she noticed it was kind of affecting her, her emotionally, and mentally.
Again,
short attention
kudos.
Span.
That is just an amazing thing. That is just fantastic for a young person to be able to see that, take action.
Right.
That kind of dramatic action is just fantastic.
Exactly.
All right.
Sam has come into our. What are you doing in our studio here?
You bring
here?
Your coffee and donuts. You gonna make some banana bread for us?
Yeah. Well, what am I supposed to do? Only two of the mics are on right now.
Okay.
No, I'm coming in here to get the stream restarted.
Oh, okay.
So people can watch your beautiful faces
while they're driving into work.
Okay. All right. We're getting we're getting a comment here. Really? I don't know what does that mean? Okay. My neighbors said, really? Okay.
Grind the show to a halt. Well, the thing also I want to bring up on this, because I tried to research whether this is happening nationwide, whether this is really taking off as a trend that a lot of teenagers are getting rid of TikTok. And I looked it up. I could not find anything on this at all.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. What I did find, though, were, now we were going to think about Gen Alpha students here, okay?
Gen Alpha.
Yeah. The younger generation out there.
Right.
So what I did find, though, yeah, is that Gen Alpha is driving teachers out of the teaching business.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
no, it's true.
How is that?
Well,
they just can't relate to them anymore, and they just are giving up on the teaching profession.
I don't know what it is. I want to play a cut for you on this.
Okay.
Okay. But it's about it's a little over 4 minutes, and okay, we do not have that time.
Okay.
But I think we can play it after we talk to Brittany and give you an idea of what's happening.
Okay.
It's a kind of an abbreviated Busted Pencils show with John and Corey.
Well, they'll be with us tomorrow.
Yeah.
As they are every Thursday at 6:35.
But I don't want to take their valuable time with a four-minute cut.
Right?
But they may agree or disagree with this. Again, this is something I found. And as I tried to connect to other links that I found on Google, all I got was a blank screen. So I don't know what that's all about. But anyway, it is out there. A teacher put a video together and talked about the fact that people are retiring. They're getting out of the business. They can't control the kids, in other words.
I see. So the teachers are just hanging it up.
They've had
leaving
it
in droves.
Yeah, they have had it.
They have had it. They're not taking it anymore.
That's right.
Can't take the kids.
We were talking about this. My roommates and some of his family was over this past weekend, and one of them said, "It's time to bring back capital punishment." And I was like, "You mean corporal punishment?"
Yes, corporal.
Yeah, because capital.
And he said,
"That seems a little extreme."
No, I mean capital punishment.
What?
No, really, he meant it.
Now,
that's serious.
You're thinking about becoming a teacher.
That's right.
Right.
I am. Yeah.
Are you rethinking that plan now? With the
there's
way things
been a
are
lot
going?
Of people trying to get me to rethink it, but I don't know.
I'm
gonna give it a go.
I remember in first and second grade they had corporal punishment in elementary school. They took them into the coat room. They had the paddle.
We didn't have that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
They had that at the Catholic schools in Milwaukee, but not, it wasn't in the public schools.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But look into that.
Hitting kids is not good. John and Gordy do
not
advocate for corporal punishment.
No, we do not believe in that at all.
That's something we can talk to Busted Pencils about again tomorrow, too. Okay, it is 7:18, and coming back with Brittany Merlot will give us the weather update here on John and Gordy in the Morning, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Fine.
92.7 WMDX. John and Gordy in the Morning.
It's 22 minutes past 7 and some sunshine trying to peek through the early morning clouds. It's cold, 35 degrees, maybe some frost on your windshield to scrape off this morning. We'll get a high about 51. Brittany Merlot is not joining us this morning, as it turns out.
I told her that StreamYard went down for a little bit. And
did she call us?
No,
well, I told her that it's back up now, but she hasn't seen it yet. She hasn't seen the message.
And she's taking a vacation now.
What are we going to do without her update on the weather?
Well, wait a minute.
We're just bumping into walls now, I think.
Are the phones still working?
The phones phones have worked the whole time.
Okay, so 608-879-8255. You can call us there, 879-TALK, or text us.
Okay, now this goes to Sam, okay? We were talking about this, and Gen Alpha is getting crazy out there. Teachers of all ages are deciding to quit the profession because of the behavior of Gen Alpha students.
They just can't take it anymore.
And again, this is all ages of teachers. These aren't veterans that are tired of it. These are all ages here. And opting to give up their retirement to save their mental health.
Wow.
Okay, so this is the teaching profession you want to get into. this is not a flex, parents. You should not be proud that this is happening in schools because of your kids.
Does this have anything to do with the Department of Education going to be disassembled by the Trump administration?
They might use this as reasoning for disassembling.
But this might
Department
be just something else that, to add to their angst.
Yep. Well, here, we've got a cut here. This is an actual teacher.
Okay.
And she posts all this stuff on TikTok. So let's listen to cut 87 and see what the reasons are.
Teachers of all ages are quitting their job because of the behavior of Gen Alpha students. And they are citing that exact reason for the decision of them leaving the profession. So many people want to disparage the individual teacher for making that decision, saying that it's their age or it's the era in which they began their career, where they just can't handle this new generation of kids anymore. A few videos back, I discussed how Gen Z teachers and younger teachers that have just entered the profession are seeing some of these behaviors and they're alarmed, and a lot of them are calling it quits after a few years, realizing this is not what they want to do and put up with for the rest of their life. And I see so many people trying to say, well, they're just young and immature and they just don't know what this is all about, and if they can't handle the profession, it's good they get out now because they don't deserve the title of teacher and they need to let somebody else step in and do the job for them. When in reality, we have teachers like this person's mother who have been in the game for several decades, who knew exactly what they were getting into at the start, who had no issues up to this point. But now that they have Gen Alpha students in their classroom, they are more than willing to give up their retirement, give up their retirement pay, just so that they can escape the chaos that your children are bringing into the classroom. And what do people say about them, the older teachers? Well, they're just old and tired and jaded, and they needed to get out of the game a long time ago. They need to step aside and let some of the younger ones come in and do the job. And then you have teachers like me who were somewhere in the middle, who are in their 30s or 40s, have 5, 10, 15 years left in their career, who are also saying the same things. They're tired of dealing with the violence. They're tired of dealing with the apathy. They're tired of dealing with parents who are making the excuses and fighting them all the way through the process. They're tired of getting assaulted in their own classroom and getting blamed for it. So if you're going to sit there and blame age and era on the fact that a teacher just can't handle the job, which one is it? Is it that they're too young? Is it that they're too old? Because here's my opinion. If there are such a large majority of teachers throughout several different generations, from people in their 20s all the way through just a few years before retirement, are all saying the same thing about your children, Gen Alpha students, then you would think that it's not the generation of the teacher or the individual teacher, that the common denominator is you and your kids. Let me tell you something. A teacher doesn't just go 20 or 30 years into their career and then decide, I've had it. This is just not it for me, for no reason. You have to get to a certain point in your career where your mental health and physical health are so wrecked and in the toilet that you have to do it for survival. And any teacher that you talk to that is going to sit there and deny that there are increased issues in the classroom or gaslight other teachers for having problems and making the decision to leave are the kinds of teachers who made up their mind a long time ago that they're going to survive on a martyrdom complex and it would never matter the circumstances. This is not the only story that I hear of veteran teachers making the decision to leave the profession because they just cannot handle it anymore. It makes me incredibly sad because I hear stories like this from secondhand sources and from the teachers themselves of people that are nearing retirement age almost every single day in my comment section that said, I had to make this decision for me. And the reason why it makes me so incredibly sad.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I'd like to hear from a teacher or a number of teachers and get a consensus on this.
Right.
I mean, this is one person's point of view, what they've heard themselves, and they've given reasons that it creates a certain chaos. There's no control in the classroom to keep these kids off their phones, whatever they're doing, and they just can't handle it anymore. Now, if the school takes away the phones, then there's no issue. So I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure where we're going with this.
You're saying if they take away the kids' phones, then
everything's going to be fine, right?
I would think that there's no other way, no other distraction that these kids could provide.
I think it's more than just being distracted while in class. I think it's behavior issues that have been instilled into these kids, probably accidentally, due to COVID, due to how they were raised, all that sort of stuff.
Well, and then there's the problem of school shootings and what to do about that.
Yeah.
And that's always kind of lingering in the background. And, all the school shooting that happened, the school shootings that happen,
right.
And they have to do drills for that. And, you know, all these issues for teachers.
And a recent event where a student brought in two duffel bags or something like that. But
we got to look more into that. He
didn't have any guns. He had just pellet guns, essentially.
Well,
yes,
but still.
But they're not that dangerous.
Okay.
They aren't that dangerous.
It is 7:29. When we come back, we'll be visiting with Mike McCabe on John and Gordy in the Morning, 92.7 WMDX.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And now, back to two veteran broadcasters who love radio so much, they hope that when it's their time, they die right here on the air. Which, come to think of it, happens pretty much every day. It's John and Gordy!
Yeah.
92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning. Thank you, Catherine. Starting to look real nice out there, and I'm assuming that the frost on the car windows, no problem.
I think.
Not anymore.
I think we're doing okay. Temperatures will climb up to a high about 51. We still have partly cloudy skies and maybe some rain later tonight and into tomorrow.
Doing his thing on Substack, we have Mike McCabe in the studio this morning, and do we have a few things to talk about.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us.
All right, let's start with, we were just talking about teachers being drummed out of the business by their students now. They can't handle the Gen Alphas, the youngest generation.
Teachers are quitting. They're walking away.
What is happening? Now, you mentioned that you had just gone out with a friend of yours who is a teacher.
Was
you a were teacher.
On a, you just went on your biking.
We went hiking.
Oh, okay, hiking.
Tell us, is this really happening in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely in Wisconsin. You know, I used to work for Madison Schools a long time ago and developed a lot of relationships with teachers and principals and other school staffers that have lasted a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lost count of the number of teachers I know who chose to leave before they really reached retirement age, even mm-hmm. early retirement age. They just decided I'm out.
And why?
And I think part of it is feeling disrespected or not valued as a profession. But I think the precipitating event for a lot of them is this sense that they would love to see phones banned in the classroom. They would just like to see those things locked away during instruction periods because they all of that scrolling has really affected attention span mm-hmm. and focus on the classroom. Try to get a kid to read a book or yeah. even a lengthy passage somewhere and then be able to talk about it. When they're wanting to pull out their phones and do some more scrolling and look at a couple of 30-second videos.
You just described me.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's a society-wide issue that we're all struggling with, but kids who have grown up knowing nothing else and they never were in a classroom that where their undivided attention was on, you know, classic literature or some science lesson or a geography lesson, and that attention span issue and the discipline issue, just you know, teachers being sworn at and really treated horribly by kids, and then the parents backing the kids' behavior, that didn't used to happen, you know, when I went to school, I had to deal with the teacher, and if the teacher, you know, laid down the law, my parents backed the teacher.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like, yes. Yeah.
And that's all changed culturally, and that is affecting the teaching profession too. So a lot of them have decided, you know, this is, if I could teach the way I want to teach, I would still be doing it. Mm-hmm. I hear that so often. If I could teach the way I want to teach, I would not leave this profession. I love the profession, but I can't teach the way I want to teach. And so that it's a society-wide crisis right now.
Well, you know, we had a call earlier about Act 10, and it says here, Act 10 took away teachers' unions' ability to negotiate working conditions in Wisconsin. And I'm wondering if that happened nationwide, whether other people lost these rights to negotiate what's going on in the classroom. Remember, our biggest argument to not put Act 10 into place was to give the teachers the ability to at least roll with the changes in the classroom.
Yeah.
And this is exactly the kind of change that they needed to roll with, but they don't have that ability anymore.
Yeah, that's what I mean when I say a lot of teachers are feeling disrespected or devalued.
Yeah.
And it's not just about money. Part of it is the, you know, the fact that teachers have been squeezed financially, but a lot of it is just, you know, their inability now to have control over what happens in their job.
Yeah.
It is working conditions that is the driver, and I, after a dozen or a dozen and a half of them that I personally know who said I'm out, I kind of lost count.
Yeah,
but
do they bring up these drills and for shootings and that kind of thing, or just the looming threat that, you know?
That's not top of mind, don't think, but it's a factor. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that they all acknowledge. It's a part of the classroom reality that didn't used to be part of the classroom reality,
right.
and it's a stress. But no, I think it has more to do with how they can interact with students and how they can manage a classroom, or if they can manage a classroom. And it's about respect of the profession and value placed on that profession, and they feel like that's just not there anymore, and that's important to them. So they decide, you know what, I'm going elsewhere.
Well, the whole thing here is that Act 10 was a way to save the state money, which we know didn't happen. It didn't save the state any money. Act 10 did not do that at all. What it did was tie the hands of the teachers from being able to change education, make it better, because for whatever reason, I don't know why the Republicans in this state don't like education and try to undermine it every step of the way. I don't know what that's all about. I don't know what their end game is on that. Do you have any idea what their end game is to prevent people from being educated?
You know, I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, Republicans felt like teachers' unions were such a potent political force, and they just wanted to clip those wings.
That's right.
And so I don't know that there was anything beyond just the raw politics of the situation. Teachers' unions
contributed to the campaigns of Democrats.
They're adversaries, and therefore let's do something to kneecap teachers' unions.
And that's all it was.
But your average teacher who's trying to do a job in a classroom. Mm-hmm. Their day-to-day life is about those interactions and relationships with kids, and it's about the process of teaching, and they feel they've lost control. over how they can operate in a classroom. Yeah, there's a generation gap there. You know, they're having a hard time relating to kids who won't put their phones down and who swear at them or choke them or engage in behavior that wasn't tolerable when those teachers were students in a classroom.
Well, we heard that cut and from a teacher who talked about these teachers walking away, and she said it was every age group of teacher.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And they're having a hard time getting young people to go into teaching in the first place.
Right.
Education schools are having a hard time filling those seats in classrooms for teacher preparation.
We want Sam to become a teacher.
now you want me to. I thought you were just trying to discourage me from it.
We weren't trying to discourage you. Unfortunately, this is the news.
Yeah.
So we're talking with Mike McCabe here, author and Substack blogger. So what is the current norm for teachers dealing with phones in the classroom? Is it up to the teacher to say, hey, put your phones in the plastic bag and put them in a drawer? Or
if a teacher tries to do that unilaterally,
you can't do it.
It really needs to be a school-wide policy. And there are states now that are starting to look at or even pass laws saying that no cell phones in classrooms. And
that's it.
And they have to go in some kind of a bag or a box and get locked away for the entire school day.
But the parents are objecting to that.
And parents tend to object to it because they want to be able to reach their child at any moment. But that creates a problem in terms of teaching. If a teacher tries to do that alone, it doesn't work. Even if a few teachers try to band together and do it, it doesn't work. It has to be a school-wide policy. And if it's going to be a school-wide policy, it really needs to be a district-wide policy, or it is really hard to buck these social trends.
Wow. You would think it would be an easy thing. You'd walk into the classroom, you know, put your phone on a windowsill. Everybody puts their phone on the windowsill, and they just go sit down. But the problem is... the time between classes.
Yeah, and the kids don't want to put their phones down.
That's right.
And unfortunately, the parents don't want the kids to surrender their phones. So it really is the teachers sort of saying, this doesn't work because I don't have their attention. I can't get them to focus on the work that we're trying to accomplish during a class period. But I don't have the backing of the parents. Mm-hmm. I don't have the students aren't anxious to do this. And, you know, so there's going to have to be a point where our society just makes a turn. And decides all of that doom scrolling is really harmful.
It's real. All right, let's get to something very quickly here. Bernie Sanders said that the Democrats are not relating well to the working class. And I think he is so absolutely wrong with what he is saying, because I think Kamala and Waltz, I think they both did such a great job of connecting. And I know you're going to say this, they're just not telling the stories, but Waltz was like the guy who told the stories. You know, he's out at the garage, he's putting oil in the car, and he's discussing politics and ways to get ahead and, you know, home buying and buying a car and, you know, telling students, you know, the best way to do whatever it is they want to do. I thought they had it. They had the feel for this. And they lost to a guy who said, I believe in the working class, with no solutions, nothing at all.
Well, I disagree with you, John.
Here we go,
and that's okay. But
hey, wait a minute here.
and I don't think I don't lay the blame at the feet of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz because the problem didn't start in 2023 or 2024. The disconnect between the working class and the Democratic Party spans nearly a generation.
Yes, I agree with that.
This has been something that's been developing over the course of a considerable amount of time. And a lot of working class people look at a basic reality. It used to be possible for a single wage earner to support a family. One wage supported a family. Mm-hmm. It put food on the table, a roof over the head. It met the needs of a family. And that's not possible anymore. Now it takes two incomes, maybe three, maybe four,
right,
to support a family. And there's vulnerability for working class people that didn't exist a generation or two ago. And they can get work. It's true when Democrats say the unemployment rate is low. Anybody who wants a job can have one. But the reality for working class folks is that the work they find isn't family supporting employment. Mm-hmm. And they can't put food on a table and pay a mortgage. And they don't have decent health care. So when a loved one falls sick, they don't know that they can get the care that they need. They don't know that they can afford their kids to get the kind of education they know their kids will need with AI and the digital economy taking over. So they're afraid. Donald Trump is, if he's anything, he's really good at stoking fear.
Right.
Yes. He's really good at speaking to those deep-seated fears. And the reality is that politics is way more about emotion than it is about intellect. You can shower people with facts, but if their reality has them feeling vulnerable and they're afraid of what the future holds, they will be drawn to that message that they sense reflects their anxieties and their fears and their realities. Democrats have not done a good job over the course of a generation now.
But it's not part of their DNA to do this. We don't sit there making people afraid of life.
But what Democrats need to do a better job is to offer a real sense to working class people that we understand those anxieties and here's the hope. Here's what we can do about those things. And what Democrats in this campaign did was offer an opportunity economy. People aren't looking for a vague promise of opportunity. They're looking for family supporting employment and health care, and they're looking for things from Democrats. Democrats have to offer the opposite of what Trump is offering,
or messaging
in a dramatic way.
The framing and messaging
that speaks
is
to the heart
thing. Yes,
we will continue with Mike McCabe after a brief timeout. 7:49, John and Gordy in the morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now 7:52, back with Mike McCabe in the studio, and what are we going to take on next?
Well, you guys just have so much to say. You were talking right through the break.
We were talking through education, and we didn't even get to the part where Trump and the administration is going to dismantle the Department of Education, making things even
more complicated,
up in the air, and
well,
crazy and chaotic.
But when we were talking about this on the break, we invented a K-12 education system in this country,
right?
When it was possible for a sole breadwinner to support a family, and somebody would stay home and tend the kids. Those days are gone, and nobody, no Democrats, no Republicans, nobody is talking about whether a K-12 design makes any sense for our society today. We got to be thinking PK-14, not K-12.
Mm-hmm.
We need it before kindergarten, public education, supporting kids, and we need it for at least 2 years beyond high school. And so,
boy, we talked about that before. The state talked about it. Maybe, and making it free, 2 year college, free, and then they get to go from there.
And here's where the storytelling comes in.
Yeah,
people need to understand that those politicians get what they're experiencing, and understand that it is not possible to support a family with a single income anymore. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the daycare expense, and that chews up one of the incomes because it's so blasted expensive, so hard to come by.
Right.
And they're thinking, we're still in a situation where we're trying to make do, covering all of our expenses with one income because the other income's going primarily for childcare,
right.
And we're not making it on that income. And they've got to understand that some politician out there gets that and understands it, mm-hmm. and can speak from the heart about it. And it's not about citing statistics and facts and
right.
unemployment rates and inflation rates and this and that. It is about communicating in a way that makes people confident that those politicians get what they're struggling with. Mm-hmm. And you say that this current ticket, Democratic ticket, or even past Democratic tickets, had a good message on the economy, but they weren't talking about what really is at work with the child care crisis. They weren't talking about a national health care program. Mm-hmm. The best that they've been willing to put forward is Obamacare. They haven't been willing to put forward a national health insurance program. They're not talking about the core vulnerabilities of working class people. So Democrats do have to come to terms with the fact that they've lost the working class.
Boy,
they always thought they were the working class party. Yeah. They have to at some point come to terms with the reality that they're not the working class's party today. And they've got some work to do to earn that working class back.
Well, the one thing that's always in the back of my mind is health care. You know, it's a big issue on this show, universal health care, because one event can wipe out your kid's college savings, your savings. You work hard for a living, paycheck to paycheck, and you've got this little nest egg put away, and all of a sudden somebody breaks a leg or has a car accident, and you blow through it, and it's gone, and then you're on the edge again, and it keeps us all on the edge, and that's the problem. We're not dealing with ways to solve that.
And I think, sadly, the Democrats have kind of become the status quo party, mm-hmm. defending Social Security, defending Medicare, sort of saying the economy's okay, the economy's just fine.
Yeah.
We can all just keep things the way they are, and that'll be okay. But for working class folks, they're saying the status quo is not okay. Mm-hmm. That's why they will then go, if there's an absence of a vision for a different future, they'll go for dismantling the Department of Education because they think this isn't working for us. Yeah. They'll go for dismantling Obamacare because they're thinking this isn't doing enough for us.
Yeah.
The Democrats have to think much more aspirationally, in my view. They have to offer a vision for what the future can look like, not just defend the present. Because for working class people, the present is not good enough.
Would you agree that they were forced to defend the present?
No, I don't think you're ever forced to defend the present, but obviously that's why the incumbent is always losing in recent elections.
Yeah.
The country will elect a Republican, then the next time they'll elect a Democrat, and then mm-hmm. they'll elect a Republican. It's because whoever's in charge is kind of put in the position of having to defend their record,
right.
and the working class is thinking, I'm still not satisfied with the way things are going. So I'll go with the Democrats next time in 2026 or 2028, because if these problems don't get addressed, then I'll flip sides again.
Mike, you were talking about during the break, some of the politicians that do a good job of talking about the human condition and telling a story, like Clinton and Reagan and Obama.
They were great storytellers.
And they would point out examples, and they would talk about a specific family going through mm-hmm. a crisis, and people could relate to that. But we're looking for that, I guess, from the Democrats next time around.
You know, the Democratic message is always heavy on facts and statistics and this and that.
Yeah.
But when you think about the politicians who've been most successful in moving voters, Ronald Reagan was a brilliant storyteller, and he coasted to two terms.
Right.
Bill Clinton, another really gifted storyteller, also two-term president. Barack Obama, incredibly gifted storyteller, two-term president. Every other president has struggled to make it through one term without being reviled. Mm. It just goes to show that political campaigning is way more about storytelling than reciting facts.
And then, of course, we had a problem with age. So,
Hey, we are all out of time, Mike. Good to talk to you. We never got to the thing we were going to talk about the four turns, but we'll get around that.
Maybe we can do that next week.
We have to do it next week. We got to give people hope.
Yep.
All right.
Tomorrow we'll be talking with Busted Pencils. They'll be with us. Also, Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I always screw that up. John?
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll try it all again tomorrow, 6 a.m. Thanks for joining us. Stephanie Miller's next on 92.7 WMDX. Right. Have a great day.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.